All right, next up we have Tarn Yates, and he's going to talk a little bit about model shading inputs as well.
All right, great. So my name is Tarn Yates. I'm an applications engineer at Borrego Solar. And I think I bring sort of a different perspective to this than a lot of people we've heard from already, which is that I'm part of a sales organization that's working on getting these projects on the ground, not part of a research institute, not developing these models, but an actual end user of the model who's putting it to use every day and running into the limitations that we see. And so I think Ben mentioned this last night, the last time we had this conference. I, or Bradley, one of the two of us, mentioned that what we really need is we need some integration with the design tools that we're already using to do some of our shading calculations. And Ben mentioned last night that the guys from Helioscope look like they're putting together something really interesting that could be a path forward for this. I'm going to say that I want even more integration into the tools that we're already using. So as part of that, what I'm going to talk about is kind of why I feel we need that. Talk about some work that we've done at Borrego to sort of answer this question ourselves. I'm going to talk a little bit about another program that we've started to use called Helios 3D. It does provide some of this integration I'm talking about, and then talk about what I see as the next steps forward that are needed. So I think the top point on this slide here, Borrego Solar created 650 proposal designs in 2012. And every single one of those needed a production model. Not every single one of those needed a shape model, but we had, you know, 3 to 5 guys that were running those production models for those projects. Some of the projects are development projects. You know, we have a long period of time to work on them. A lot of them are RFP responses for schools or other businesses that are putting out an RFP. We have a couple weeks to a month to respond to them. And we certainly don't have that kind of time to create production models, do value engineering, get the designs done. We really end up with a week or a couple days to do this work, and it doesn't leave you with a lot of time to get into great detail on these things. And that's a problem. There's very important design decisions that are made during the sales process. You know, I mean, just as a basic, the system size is locked in. And I want to expand on that a bit. You know, a few years ago, looking at a system like this picture that I have up here, you know, this comes to us, they put out an RFP, or this customer wants us to propose a system for their site. It made a lot of sense a few years ago to draw some shade boundaries, create a shade window, say we're not going to put modules in these spots, and put a design down and move forward. As modules and racking have gotten cheaper, as there's smaller components of these projects, we're pushing into those shade boundaries. There can be real LCOE savings from driving down the unit cost of a project by increasing the system size while taking a hit on your yield. And in order to make the right decisions, you need to do a number of iterations of these designs, and you need to do quite a bit of analysis. At the moment, the tool that we have for doing this is the near shading model that we exist. If we didn't have that, you know, we might be able to use PVSOL. We haven't used PVSOL very much. But I mean, we're well past the point where we can be out on a commercial rooftop taking solmetric sun-eye shots and using those to somehow calculate our shading. This really is the tool we have right now. It's very valuable. So but it's cumbersome to use and it's really time consuming. These models here, the one that shows, the one in the upper right hand corner, those modules are actually on a roof, and then there's some buildings to the side. That took one of my colleagues 5 hours to build, and that was just to build the model. He then ran a number of iterations. He might have spent 12 hours on this, while he has many, many other things to do. And that was, he was trying to make the decisions that I'm talking about. There was quite a bit of shading on this roof. And there was the ability to significantly increase the size by driving into that shading. So he did. He put the time required in to make those decisions and to make really educated decisions. It's a huge bottleneck, a huge time suck to do that. I put up the other image on here. You would think that utility projects maybe don't need shade models run as much for them, but we've been running into quite a few of these projects where the projects are located right next to transmission and distribution lines because that was the best place to locate them. And building these shade models, the other one that's there, I think one of my colleagues probably spent 4 or 5 hours getting the basis of it set up, and then I spent another couple hours messing around with the iterations and trying to get it right. I'm not saying someone shouldn't be doing that. A lot of these presentations have been looking at getting down to the really fine points of production models and trying to drive out small errors, small uncertainties. And certainly when projects are real, that's worth doing. It should be done. During the sales and proposal process, it's hard to commit a large amount of time to those issues. I think a fairly typical number in the solar industry is that we close 1 out of every 10 projects that we propose on. So 9 out of 10 projects that we're working on aren't real, it's sunk time, and goes into the costs of other projects. So we have these, difficult decisions to make about how detailed do we get about doing these shade models and looking at these projects. So with that in mind, what we've been working on is a way to streamline that. Something that is a given for all these projects is that we are going to create a proposal design for the project in AutoCAD. Now, that may differ a bit between solar companies. The ones that I've worked for use AutoCAD, and they create a proposal design for everyone. It's my proposal, my thought, that this is an excellent 2D model that we already have of the system. This model can be used to, or this, yeah, this AutoCAD model can be used to create a shade model that, while it won't capture the intricacies of shade losses, will give us enough information to make large design decisions during the proposal process. The great thing about this type of proposal design is that we already have the location of the modules, we have the obstructions. I mean, if it's recent aerial imagery, the obstructions are there. I don't know how many people here have built PVSYS near shading models. It's a fairly inexact science. It's not as simple as using AutoCAD. And you certainly are having to building a tree, something like that. Its precise location is a little vague in a near shading model. So I think having an aerial image that you're working off of gives you a great step already in locating your shade objects appropriately. The thing about this that I like the most is you're not opening another tool, you're not recreating something. This is a step that's already done and it streamlines the effort. So At Borrego, the tool that we've created is a simple VBA program operating in the background of AutoCAD. Some fairly basic inputs to it, site latitude to calculate sun angles, module tilt and azimuth, obstruction heights. And it does, you know, some of these calculations we've been talking about, direct shading, it fairly simple. Draws an outline based on the height of an obstruction around the array, checks to see if modules or a string is located inside or outside of that outline, creates a direct shade derate factor. It does that on a sort of a 12 by 24 basis. One day from each month of the year, every hour for that day, creates a table. Diffuse shading, I was just trying to mimic the PV-SYST near shading model, so it looks at the sky as being isotropic and it attempts to calculate a single D-ray factor for the diffuse shading. At the moment, what we need in order to implement this or to actually finish the calculation is to put the results, the 12 by 24 table that we get from this tool, into an Excel file that we can also combine with an 8760 output from a design tool, as well as we need the ratio of direct to global horizontal irradiance in order to do the calculations. So what I've just described for us takes minutes. It takes 10 minutes for this whole thing, as opposed to 5 hours or an entire day. And the benefit to this is there will be times in the proposal process for a project where, because something's going to take 8 hours, it doesn't happen. And so something that's much more accurate is great, but if it doesn't happen, then there's no value in that. So the fact that this, I could give you a whole list of reasons why this, issues with why this doesn't give you an exact number, but the fact that it is very quick and simple and easy to do, I think in many ways outweighs some of those factors. Am I running out of time? You held up 5 minutes. Okay, this is a comparison of the results of the that AutoCAD-based tool to PV-SYST shading calculations. The only takeaway from this is it's pretty good. the light blue lines are PV-SYST linear shading calculations for, I just ran a number of scenarios. Dark is running PV-SYST with 100% string losses. For the instances where there's more shading, the results from this tool were giving us a number between the two of those, which is pretty much what you'd want. We have seen some issues at lower levels of shading. I think there's some tweaks that need to be made to the diffuse shade calculation that could clean that up a bit. But it gives you actionable results in a very quick amount of time. I also want to talk about Helios 3D. It's a tool we're starting to use. I'm running out of time, but very valuable for varying terrains and calculating shade setback distances that are non-standard. You can import a file from Helios 3D into PV-SYST and get a much more accurate shade calculation than you could. The alternative is you assume non-variable row spacing, a set row spacing, and you get a number that's just not correct at all for terrain that's rolling. But currently you put shade obstructions into Helios 3D and import them into PV-SYST, so you're back to building the whole scene, or at least the whole shading scene in PV-SYST. Hopefully that'll change over time. So as far as next steps, so this I showed you what we did. Really, I'm saying that's a proof of concept. It's an idea. I want someone to supply us with an AutoCAD-based shade tool. We would use it. We would use it all the time, and there's, you know, 20, 50 other companies out there that would use it as well. We don't want to open up another tool, build another shade model with something that wasn't designed for drawing. I think an important factor in this would be whoever, yeah, I'll be done in a minute. If someone were to develop this, you need to develop a layout tool in CAD as well. It'll control the layout of the modules and the shape obstructions. I think you need to be able to control those factors to do accurate shade calculations. And if you built something like that that was really good, it would, I mean, yeah, the industry could use a tool like that. I hope that someone's interested. Okay, I'll wrap up.
Thank you, Tom. Let's take one question for Tom. Thanks. Over here.
Nice presentation. Jim Bing, Neoverse Engineering. The plot you showed, that was just like 10 or 12 separate cases. That's what the arguments.
Yeah, so the answer to this is yes. That was just 10 or 12 separate cases. And it was just to show that over a fairly wide variety of instances, comparing our results to the PDCIS results, it was reasonably good.
Thanks for that, Mike Anderson from SunPower. You mentioned using SunEye would be practical. That's because of the time it would take to go to site and use
it. Yeah, absolutely. So what a typical job walk for an RFP response looks like is you're out on site with 10 other companies. Someone's showing you around to an electrical room to the area of land they think might be useful for solar. They show you the parking lot, you have like 10 minutes while you're standing there, and then you're done. And now you have to go back to the office, put together a design, create a production model, likely guarantee it in some way, and that's how much data you have. And so while you're out on site with those 10 other companies, with those 15 minutes, the idea of taking accurate symmetric shots that would probably, I mean, it would take you an hour, 2 hours. I mean, I don't even, it's just impractical, and it's not happening. At a typical commercial project job walk, the one person that pulls out their symmetric, everyone's looking at and wondering what they're doing. So, and it just, there really is a difference between very large development projects and then this section of the commercial PV market where it's smaller, quicker, less resources.
All right, great. Thank you, Tarn. So we're going to break for lunch, but I just want to leave you with one closing thought. Considering the presentations you've heard, and you know, the two things that popped out to me, Sarah made a comment about mismatch actually being recoverable power, but then also Paul made a comment about mismatch actually being not an input factor. And if you've taken the time to look at this matrix and, you know, think about what you define mismatch losses are, you know, do you agree with their assessments of mismatch? And just think about that right now. We're going to have a chance to talk a little bit more later during the panel discussion and afterwards. So